Deuteronomy 4, 5 through 10. Why don't you stand with me, please, as we honor God's word and the reading of it. The Bible says, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children." Our Heavenly Father, I pray this morning as we continue on in this service, we look into your word and we would recognize the importance of living a life as people watch. As you told Israel that the world would be watching how they carried out your commands, it has already been touched down on the announcements that the world is watching how we handle our families, how we treat our wives, how we treat our husbands, how we raise our kids. Lord, we recognize that this is a serious responsibility that we do not take lightly. I pray that you'd give us, as a church family of the Cornerstone Baptist Church, tremendous ability, God-given, to raise up godly men and women that will follow on after us. Help us, please, this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We've spent the month of February talking about love and the family. We've talked about what men need. Ladies, you need to respect your husband. You need to want your husband. You need to value your husband. And those are things that he is looking for in his life. Men need three things. Women need at least five things. Spiritually ministered to. They need to feel safe and secure. They want to share intimate conversation. As I've talked to some of the men, this is where we really suffer on, is sharing intimate conversation. Tender touch and gentle words. And pursued and set apart for her man. Those are the things that a woman needs. Jimmy Stewart tells a story of a man talking to his wife, and she said, "Now, if I die, would you get married again?" And he said, "Oh, come on, honey, we wouldn't talk about something like that. Let's not even think about that." But she persisted. And every time he'd put her off, he'd say, "No, no, honey, I just can't even begin to think about something like that." And so after several days, finally he said, I guess, yeah, I would. Well, she said, "Well, would you sell the house?" He said, "Well, no, I think I'd stay living here." And she said, "Well, would you sleep in our bed?" And he says, "Well, I suppose." And, "Well, you wouldn't let her use my golf clubs, would you?" And he says, "Oh, no, she's left-handed." So, I'm sorry, I thought that was really funny, you know. So obviously husbands and wives are a wonderful blessing that God ordained the family. When you have husbands and wives, children come along. Children are a blessing from the Lord, and we are told to train up a child in the way he should go. I believe in the child, three things will take place as he or she reaches adulthood. Number one, things will be taught. Number two, things will be caught. And number three, things will be wrought, not rotten, wrought. It's a King James Version word. We don't use a great deal, but I'll explain it when we get to it. Things are taught. Exodus 24:12 says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will teach thee. I will give thee tables of stone and the law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them." Deuteronomy 5:31 says, "But as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which thou shalt teach them, and they shall do them." Deuteronomy 6:7, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up." Deuteronomy 11:19, "And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up." I think you sense a theme here. Judges 3:2, "Only that the generation of the children of Israel might know to teach them." 1 Kings 8:36, "Then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy servants, and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk." 2 Kings 17:27, "Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, carry thither one of the priests whom ye brought from thence, and let them go and dwell there, and let him teach them the manner of the God of the land." Psalm 132:12 says, "If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony, and I shall teach them, their children also shall sit upon the throne forevermore." Matthew 5:19, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do them and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Two more, Mark 6:34, "And Jesus came, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were sheep not having a shepherd, and began to teach them many things." Mark 8:31, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things." Teach them. Say that with me. Teach them. It's a command we're taught to do from the Word of God, to obviously to train up a child, to teach them. Question is, what are we learning in the year 2017? Americans spend 444 minutes a day looking at a TV screen, a computer screen, a smartphone, or a tablet. That's 7.4 hours a day looking at a screen. Folks, that's another full-time job. That's what we do. That's what's teaching us right now. And I want to emphasize to you this morning, I know we're all Baptists here, and we're all in church, and it's a Sunday morning, and so obviously you care about the things of God. But my fear is that while we're raising our kids and doing things, we have forgotten the main thing, and that is this book right here, in the importance of foundational truth in God's Word. And I love some of the things that are out there. I know there's video games and there's fun stuff to do, and there's sports and the NFL and the NBA, and there's things that our kids are observing us follow those things. There's hunting and fishing. We had a little brook running out front here this morning as the snow melts, and we joked about, we think we saw some fish jump in there. But of course, so there's all kinds of fun things to do, and they're certainly not wrong. But what is wrong is when we're doing all the fun things and forgetting this fun thing, this enjoyable thing right here, God's Word, because it is critical that our children know God's Word and live by it, or their life will be a total failure. Now, they may go out and make money. They may be successful as the world looks at them, but as God looks at them, if they do not know God's Word and God's truth, if you have and I have not taught them this book right here, we have failed as parents. Do you believe that? Amen? And it's so important that I emphasize that and you don't miss that. What are they being taught? Then if you go on in verse number 9 of our text this morning, and you know, verse number 10, I apologize. Only take heed to thyself in verse 9. But verse 10, the first word in my Bible says specially. Say that with me. Specially. What's that mean? Well, specially. Really, this right here, I want you to emphasize this, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb. He's talking to Moses, of course, and he's talking to, don't you forget the day you and I met. And I gave you what you know to share to the people. You need to convey that to the children of Israel. And so in today's terminology, as parents, I know I'm getting older, but I wasn't at Horeb. That was not my story. But what we do need to convey is that that day, that place, Wendell Calder calls it his holy ground spot. We need to convey to the kids the day we trusted the Lord, the day I met him, the time I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I tell my kids so. Now, what happens growing up as kids is we are attracted to what our parents are attracted to. If you liked sports, chances are your kids will like sports. If you played sports, there's a good chance your kids will play sports because those were the passions in your life. My dad was a hunter and fisher, and Dad would come back in from the woods, and he'd tell his hunting story, and I'd think, I can't wait until I'm old enough to hold a gun and to go out in the woods and to shoot Bambi. I wanted to do that. Why? Because I saw the pleasure that was taking place in my parents and my dad especially, and I wanted to be like Dad. Well, by the same token, I believe our love for Christ and our relationship with him, that needs to be conveyed onto our kids as they come in and they see us going to church and they see us reading the Bible and all of those things. There ought to be a desire in their part to do the same things that we love to do. And so my kids know when I got saved. I was saved at 4 years old in the living room couch at home on 299 Griffin Road in Levant. My sister, Linda, who's her birthday today, she turns 57 today. Her and I, sitting there, prayed, I trusted Christ as my Savior. Grew up in a Christian home. Felt like I was called to preach before I was saved. I just always wanted to tell folks about Christ. Every time I saw a crowd, I was thinking, how great would it be to tell these folks about Jesus? I've told this story before. Al and I was there, and we were at the Bangor Auditorium one time watching a basketball game. I said to him, I said, Al, wouldn't it be great to tell these folks about Christ? And Al looked at me and said, Stan, you know, not everybody thinks like that. And that's where it started to occur to me that maybe this isn't normal. And it's not normal for everyone to want to stand in front of people and share the gospel, but that's something that God planted in my heart, and I love doing it. There's a fire in my bones to tell folks about Christ. Now, some people have that, and if you do, you got a call to preach. And some people would rather not ever talk about it because they're shy or embarrassed or don't do well in a crowd, but they know they're saved and they love the Lord, and in their way, when they can, they share their faith. Everybody's different. But what our young people need to see is our passions in our life. And one of the passions, it can be hunting, fishing, guns, cars, whatever. Those are my passions. I love those things. But the number one thing I love and I want my kids to love, especially the time I met Christ, especially the things of the Lord. And I'll tell you what, the things of God ought to be exciting in our life. And if they're not, our kids will not follow us. It's that simple. I grew up in a dead Baptist church. I just couldn't stand going to church. Once a month on Sunday, first Sunday of the month, man, we had communion. I'd walk into church and I'd see that communion table set up, and that's supposed to be a holy thing, a reverent thing, and I'd think, great, church is going to go 15 minutes longer today. That's no way to look at the communion table, but that's what I grew up in. And I thought, I felt like, does church have to be like this? And then every now and then, a speaker like Harold Duff would come in, who we idolized, and someone that would tell a few jokes and laugh a little bit, put a little life into the message. And I thought, if I ever get to preach, I'm not going to... Now, brethren, isn't that just a blessing? I'm so moved by the meaning of these words in this text. It is wonderful. And I'm not really exaggerating, folks. That's about what it was. And it was just awful. And I thought, is this what the gospel is made of? And I want you to know that the stories in the Bible are exciting. A life with Christ is something to live for, not something to die in. Someone said, you know, what you'd have if you lined up every Baptist in church, laid them out on the pew that went to sleep, says, no, what? They said, they'd be a whole lot more comfortable. And that's the truth. And it was just awful. But there was something about the message of the gospel that I still wanted. I still loved it. The story is still special. And thankfully, I was able to meet a group of people and get into churches where there was some life. And I saw that not every church has to be a dead church. Not every church you go to sleep in. There are churches that actually want to tell others about Christ. And I want to be a part of something like that. Thank you. You that clapped, you one person. God bless you. Yes. Especially that time you met God. Then there's the things that God wants to emphasize as you're meeting with God, your lessons from God. Now, God's taught me a few things. We started this church in 1994. Mark came along shortly thereafter. And I guarantee him and I have never talked about this, and no particular reason. Well, I'd like to think I know a whole lot more in 2017 than I knew in 1994. Mark was just mortified to talk in front of a group. He did not want to do that. You'd never know that now. God has grown him. I'd like to think he's grown me. I'd like to think he has grown you. In the growth, there are some lessons. Mark talked about it in the adult Sunday school class this morning. Sometimes those lessons are hard to learn, and sometimes we want to go in and help the lesson get over more quickly and take someone away from the pain of the lesson, but that's not God's purpose. Sometimes we're called to struggle. Sometimes we're called to lose. I played sports in high schools. Listen to the championship games this week for on the radio for basketball, and following one of the families that we know in this church, freshman basketball, lost. Been there, done that. I cried. I did. We were 16-0 my senior year going into the tournaments. We were unbeatable. We were unbeatable. We got beat. I go in the locker room, I'm a senior, and I'm just bawling my eyes out. I'm not proud of that. But I'll tell you what, there's lessons to be learned in losses. There are lessons to be learned and gained. And sometimes those lessons are hard, but they're part of our faith. And it'll be okay. God always makes a way. Meeting with God, lessons learned. Not only are they meeting with God, your lessons from God, there ought to be a fear of God. I don't know about you, but I hope my kids know that God scares me. I know he loves me. I know he cares about me. I know he sent his son to die for me. But I'll tell you what, he's not my big daddy in the sky. He's not my pal. Him and I don't have an understanding. What I understand about him is I need to obey him. And if you get out of line, I can't guarantee you how well that's going to go. There ought to be a fear of God. And best way for you to cultivate a fear of God is to cultivate a fear of you with your kids. I'm not saying you just need to scare them in the dark all the time, but I'm saying they ought to understand if you get out of line, there's going to be consequences, and it may be painful, and it may be the rod of discipline on the seat of understanding called spanking. Now, I know that we've got this new age group of people that seem to think that God doesn't use that anymore. Well, I'll tell you what, it's still in my Bible, and I believe it still works, and if you'll lovingly administer discipline, you won't have to worry about the discipline they get when they leave home. But if you don't discipline them now, reason why we don't have kids that are scared of police officers, because they were raised not to be. I'll tell you what, I'm still scared of a police officer when I get pulled over. And I'm about twice his age now. I see these kids wearing badges, carrying guns, and I'm looking at them, you're not old enough, man. What is this? Fear of God. Say that with me. Fear of God. I'll tell you what, if you've got a casual relationship with the Lord and you're not afraid of him, I fear for you. meeting with God, lessons from God, fear of God, and we teach it over and over and over and over and over. That's how it's got to be. Redundancy. We don't think mom and dad, oh, I told my kids that one time. Yeah, that'll work. They need to hear it. They need to hear it again. They need to hear it again. The Apostle Peter writes in 1 or 2 Peter, I don't know which, you can look it up. He says, I'm going to tell you these things, though ye know them. Though ye know them. Because a lot of times in church, very rarely on a Sunday morning, do you get a new truth that you've never heard before. All we're doing is reemphasizing what we already know because we need to be reminded. Over and over and over. God's teaching not only involves lessons, it involves demonstration. My dad was a great teacher. He's not here. He's in North Carolina today, but he'll be back in a couple of weeks. Dad taught basic things. This isn't rocket science. I'm going to go down here and I'm going to embarrass Alex. But one of the things when we were young, we were taught how to shake hands. I don't know if were you taught how to shake hands when you were growing up? We were. I mean, you didn't. And so, Alex, stand up. Were you ever taught how to shake hands?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, fine. So we put it like that. See, he's got a squeeze. This boy's got it together. He's got a squeeze here and stuff. So no offense to you, but if you're a man and you're shaking hands like a woman, you didn't have a daddy, all right? That's all there is to it. So you look them in the eye, you shake their hand. Alex, good to see you, man. Glad you're here. Will you come back after this?
Sure.
All right, good deal. All right, yes. You can have a seat. All right, so the deal is not only do you tell them, you need to show them, and you're never going to ask your kids to do what you wouldn't do yourself. They're going to see you fixing a toilet that's run over. And they don't run over when there's clean water in them. That isn't how it works. They're going to see you do things that you don't like to do, but you do it because it needs to get done. And then once they've seen you do that a few times, then they can't kick when you say, hey, Stanley, go clean out the toilet. I can't do it, Dad. You'll get over it. That was one of the things we had to do if you went hunting. You cleaned your own deer, you know. And I'll tell you what, that ain't fun. Eddie Arnold's dad, Arthur, really weak stomach. And so usually everybody loved Uncle Art so much that he shot a lot of deer and he could usually find some willing hunter to clean his deer for him. But every now and then we just wouldn't, you know. And he'd get down there, he'd be on his knees, he'd have his knife out, and he's cutting into that thing, and then he'd go a little, you know. All part of the process, you know. Don't send your kids to church, bring them. Don't just tell them, you show them. Deuteronomy 6:6-7, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto their children. That's over and over and over, diligently. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in the house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up. There's a difference between teaching what we know and teaching what's in our heart. Don't miss that. These things shall be in thine heart. I want to say, these things shall be what you love. That's what's in your heart. The heart of the matter. What we need are parents not just sharing knowledge, but sharing a heartfelt belief in what they are living every day. Things that are taught. There are things that are taught, and I got 5 minutes to do the last two. There are things that are caught. And what's caught is your attitude, how you're doing things. What's caught if you've got young people and you got in the car this morning and you're coming to church and they know you come to church, mom and dad. They know you do that on Sunday. But what's being caught is the attitude and what you do it with. Come on, kids, we do this because this is what we do. Well, daddy, I don't want to go. That's too bad. I don't want to either, but we're going. You do that, and I'll tell you what, all they're going to do is wait until they're old enough to not have to go, and they won't. You want it to be bred into them to catch that spirit that mom and dad have, that they want to be in God's house. This is the place to be. Say that with me. This is the place to be. And your spirit will get caught. 1 John 2:15 through 17 says, love not the world. And they're going to see whether your allegiance is twisted, torn between the things of God and the things of the world. You got twisted tea in the refrigerator. That's not twisted tea. That's a twisted life. got Miller High Life. That's not Miller High Life. That's Miller Low Life. Don't head for the mountains. It's not heading for the hills. It's heading for hell. And the kids look at that and they say, wait a minute, Mom and Dad, we're in church on Sunday, but you're doing this stuff through the week, and that won't work. If you won't do it for yourself, do it for the Lord, then do it for your kids. But get the crap out of your house, clean up your act, because your kids are watching. And they're catching your double standard. Your Facebook posts are showing it. And I'm not on Facebook, but every now and then someone comes, hey, did you see so-and-so? No, I didn't, and I don't want to know. I know that's not popular, but my word, folks, if you are a Christian and saying so, then your life needs to show it. And if it doesn't, stop saying you're a Christian. You're killing us. Boy, I didn't hear any amens on that. But it's true, isn't it? It's true. It matters. It matters. Things are taught. Things are caught. And lastly, things are wrought. Now, obviously, I'm skipping a lot of things here, but go with me to John chapter 3. I'll teach you the word on wrought. John chapter 3. Let's all say John 3:16 together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, verse 17, but that the world through him might be saved, verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the Son of God. Verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Jesus is speaking right here, verse 21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. I want to say this right here. Time will tell how we raised our kids. The effect. What hath God wrought? Say that with me. What hath God wrought? Now listen, if you're here today and your kids didn't come out like you hoped, which would probably be many of us, only because you'd love to think they'd be Bill Gates. You'd love to think that they'd be just this phenomenal genius. We all have high hopes for our kids. But Jacob and Esau grew up in the same home. Jacob had a heart for the things of God. Bible says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Did God hate Esau? No. But he hated the sins that Esau did. Cain and Abel grew up in the same home. Cain did not have a heart for the things of God. Abel did. Cain hated it so much he killed Abel. Same home. What's the difference? I don't know. But I'll tell you this. Time will tell how we raised our kids. And it's not, I'm not laying it all on you as a parent. I'm a parent. I got two kids that are grown, and it looks like they're okay. But I'll tell you this right now. If Phil and Tori go bad at 25 and 22, not my fault. I'm not supposed to say that. But the die is cast at this point. They have a testimony that they love the Lord. You can ask them. I think they're going to be fine. But there comes a time when they're on their own. I got two other ones, 4 and 8. Ooh, that's a tough one. The 4-year-old, he is his father. Crying, whining, moaning. That was me. I'm just telling you how it is. Now, how he's going to turn out, how she's going to turn out. Whew, just pray for the rapture. Who knows? Right now, that's on me. But the time comes when you've done what you can, they're out the door. If you're an adult, don't you come to me and say, well, my daddy did this, my mom, it's too late. You're an adult now, you're on your own. But time will tell what God hath wrought in our kids. And if they're young in their home, or grandparents, if you're around them, it is critical that we show them, we live for them, we teach them the time we met with God. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us, for the awesome life we get to live as Christians. Lord, I've said some hard things this morning. As in every Sunday, I'm sure there are folks that didn't appreciate everything that was said. And then there are folks that did. But every one of us could do better. Obviously, me included, probably me the most. Give us ability with our kids. If there are inconsistencies in our life that is sending a message to someone that is watching that a life in Christ is not worth it, oh God, forgive us and help us to fix that. I pray that every person here knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that they have met with you. They've had their horrid experience. They have a holy ground spot where they can remember, where they prayed, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. Then, Lord, if that's not the case, I pray right now they'd say those words, Lord Jesus, come in. Lord, I pray for homes, I pray for families today, that we would be complete in you, that our kids would see a mom and dad that love one another and love Jesus Christ. We open the altar now. We give folks a chance to respond. I pray there's not one person quenching the Spirit of God in their life this morning, that we would be willing to do whatever it is that you're asking us to do at the altar this morning, that we'd get out of our seat and step forward. Maybe our young people need to see mom and dad that are willing to surrender to the Lord and come forward at an old altar and pray to their God. But whatever you want from us, Lord, we're asking that we would do it, that we'd be obedient, and that you would be pleased. Bless this invitation, please. In Jesus' name, amen.